Welcome back to episode 3.
All right.
Keep it moving with Emily and Rob.
All right. We're chilling today, guys. It's a beautiful chilling day in the neighborhood.
What was that song, Emily? You said it was Down for the Fifth Time by Flamingosis.
Flamingosis. Yeah. Hey. Honestly, it's another one of those things, like, I couldn't really tell you the exact band. I'd have to look it up. But I know that I love that song.
Awesome song. Huge shout out to Isaac.
Isaac!
And Kevin for showing us Flamingosis.
Yeah, honestly, I think I...
Cool band. You should check them out.
I think I was creeper status on Facebook. I think Isaac sent that to Kevin.
Yeah, whatever. Still counts.
Creeper status.
Yeah.
But yeah, we love good music recommendations. So hey, if you got something... We're currently in a music lull, I'd say, because I have these like three pretty awesome playlists on Spotify that we're just chilling, vibing to. Absolutely love it. But
yeah, if you want to vibe to like our music and what we're vibing to every day, you got to follow Emily on Spotify and check out her playlists.
Rob, like, that's a lot of pressure because I'm not a DJ. Like, I'm not trying to give myself a whole bunch of music cred.
That's okay. It's like the podcast. If they don't like it, they won't listen.
Hey, that's a good point, and I love that.
But anyway, thank you all for listening.
This is unbelievable.
And enjoying it. We've got a lot of decent feedback.
Yes, it's unbelievable. I love it. My spirits have been so lifted during this quarantine, so
And it's also something to do. Like, we're just bored.
Yeah. And like we said a million thousand times, this is truly just a day for us.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be having these conversations whether they're recorded or not.
So, welcome to happy to have you all with us here.
Yeah, happy to have you join us.
But anyway, Emily's Spotify playlist, Emily's username is EmilyCatone92.
Yeah.
And what are your favorite playlists, Em?
Beats.
Beats. B-E-A-T-Z.
Yeah, gotta add the Z. Chilling.
And what's the other one? Northern Sky.
Northern Sky is a good one. That's a good one that we've been liking.
So, I mean, we haven't curated these or anything, but maybe we'll keep them updated.
What do you mean? Well, I add to them all the time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. What the heck?
Well, you said we were in a music lull, so we haven't updated.
We're in a music lull because, like I said, this is not hashtag not an ad for Spotify, but I absolutely love Spotify because once we'll like listen through the playlist, there's a setting that you can click that automatically
gives you like similar stuff, right?
Yeah, it turns into the called playlist radio. Mm. So every time that I'm like, ooh, wait a minute, I don't know this song, I just click a simple button, boom, add to playlist, and bada bing, bada boom, it's done.
Well, Emily, also tell them your music secret. So,
did we already tell them my musical secret?
I don't think so.
Are you ready?
Well, since we were working in coffee shops and all that stuff for like the whole first half of the year,
the whole first 6 months that we were on the road, Shazam!
Yeah,
bringing Shazam. It back. Shazam, the app Shazam is unbelievable. Okay, I cannot be more of an advocate for this app, and
it's just sneaky.
Like, I just take my phone out. I'm like chilling. I'm jamming even in a bar. Like if there's like a good like dance party song on, I'm like, ooh yeah yeah. What is this?
Yeah.
And there you go.
Whenever her shoulders get moving, she breaks out the Shazam app.
Oh my god, I'm just like my dad. You got a little flick of the shoulder.
Yeah.
Boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. You lose all control. You just give it to the music.
Oh, my God. I love dancing. I miss dancing. Through this quarantine, I think I miss most, like, we've been craving going to a concert even before this happened, and now it's just through the roof. Like, I just want to be dancing and singing words that I don't know. I'm terrible at lyrics, but I love it. Oh, my God.
Well, maybe we could all have a virtual dance party through your Spotify playlist.
I would honestly, we got to get my sister Grace on the line. She is the DJ queen. When it comes to dance party songs, she is on point with that.
Agreed.
Gosh, I love it. Every time. So my sister lives, shout out to Grace. Hey.
How are you doing, Grace?
I love her. She's my favorite person in the whole wide world. She lives in South Korea right now. Mm-hmm. So pretty hard to see each other where we were in California for 2 years. She was in South Korea. She also lived in Thailand for like 3 years. She's been abroad for, I don't know, forever now. So when we get together, it is just the time of our lives.
Big
at least
dance
in
party.
My opinion. Big dance party all the time.
Yeah, in the Catone house.
In the Catone household. We got my dad. My dad's a big dancer. That's where I get my shoulder pop from.
Hi, Jim and Judy. Know you guys are listening.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Sit down, get yourself a nice cocktail.
Get
enjoy
a nice
episode
cocktail.
Three.
Here we are. Honestly, it feels like we're hanging out with our friends and family through this. We should have done this so long ago.
I know. That's what they always say, isn't it?
It is. That's well, I'm glad we're doing it now. So here we are.
No time like the present.
No time but the present. Great, great line, Rob. That is so true. So, Rob, what has been on your mind these days?
Let's
dive into the brain of Robert Fregosi.
We might need a break.
Well, what we were actually just talking about this morning is we had a few strawberries that were getting a little rotted.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to put them in the fridge, and I was like, they're a little sour. Let me put them in the sun. You know, a couple days go by. Some of them got a little rotted, so what'd you do with them?
Yeah, so we had some strawberries, and there was like a few of them that had gotten molded. And
yeah, a little moldy.
They were just out for a while, quarantine. You know, all the fruit isn't
I definitely
great.
Ate one. It was moldy and all, and I just ate it.
That's gross.
I don't know. I just really wanted a strawberry yesterday.
Well, anyway, I saw them and put them like outside, like a little bit away from our truck, and just like let them kind of like decompose and see what happens. Like, you know.
Right, I didn't even know you did this. Yeah, science experiment number two.
I didn't even tell you I did this until this morning. So it was. I checked it out yesterday, and it was covered in like flies and ants and stuff like that.
So weird.
And it was all like they were eating it, and it's all decomposed. It's right over there.
I gotta take a look.
But
then what?
When I walked over to check it out, I saw like two lizards like scurry away because I came over
snatching the flies.
I came
up.
Stomping over like a giant.
Naturally.
And the lizards were snatching up the flies and stuff like
God.
That.
Was it covered in like ants and
and flies and like ants, yeah.
Oh my God.
And
so
it,
you
and
have
it was
the
like decomposing with like
the mold.
Yeah,
the mold.
Fungus was like growing all over them, and then the bugs were eating the fungus and the strawberries, and then the lizards were eating the insects.
Let's continue the chain reaction. Then what
comes? I was just hoping to wait to see one of these hawks come down and grab a lizard.
Yeah, that would be gnarly.
Yeah,
wouldn't it? Or see one of the crows come? There's a big black crows everywhere.
Yeah, there's.
Woo! Oh my God, a bee just flew into my ear. I'm okay. Do you remember
what?
What did I do in San Francisco? The bee story.
Oh,
should
boy.
We share?
So
let's share.
We were
here.
Walking to Hardly Strictly Bluegrass.
Oh, yes.
Which was an awesome time. Another huge shout out to Kevin and Isaac for showing us that concert.
It was totally for free.
Yeah, in San Francisco every summer.
Is it every summer? I don't know
September.
Details about
it. September. So we were there in September.
Yep.
And they have this huge 3-day festival in the Golden Gate Park.
Yeah, around
something
that
like
area.
That. And totally
huge.
Free.
Yeah.
There was like thousands and thousands of people there.
Yeah. All like bluegrass, blues music.
Like four or six stages or something.
I think they had way more than that, Rob.
Yeah, there's a lot of music going on all weekend. It was cool.
Yeah. So anyway, like Rob said, 3-day weekend. And so we get there. We find a good place to park for a little while. And we're like, well...
We had to park pretty far away.
Yes. So we walked through...
through the park. It's kind of like Central Park of San Francisco.
Right.
Yeah.
Really nice. Like, there's kind of like nature trails that you're walking through.
Beautiful
places.
Yeah,
so,
it was incredible.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to share too many details, but, you know, we're going to a bluegrass concert, so we're having ourselves a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, indulging in having fun.
Yeah.
Life. And all of a sudden, my brain sees this beautiful, bright orange flower. It wasn't a poppy, even though California has beautiful poppies. And all of a sudden, my very focused brain gets zoomed into this flower. And I'm like, oh my God, look at it. And then I look down a little farther onto the ground, and there is an underground beehive.
Yeah, it was so beautiful, though. It was like this little like circle, and there were all these, there was dozens and dozens of bees.
Yeah,
like,
everywhere.
Doing like this wobble.
Yes, yes. Just like you learn in science class. They do like a zigzag wobble into the beehive. And it was like I was watching planet Earth live in action.
Yeah, they were just like going right in.
Zigzagging in.
It was awesome.
And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I have to get a video of this. This is unbelievable. So I stick my head
right in the way
of their wobble, like an idiot.
So dumb.
Like, I'm just not using my brain right now. I'm just so enamored by like the beauty of the flower, by the beehive, by the creation. And then what happens? Take
obviously,
a guess here, people.
They a bee or four bees
start swarming my
get
head.
Caught in her lion's mane of a hair.
Yeah, my hair is up in a bun.
Oh,
and
man. And then one of them like was really
so
like,
this
stuck
is what
onto
happened.
Your scalp.
So this is what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, bees are flying and I think I'm in the clear. I swat them all away and then Rob's like, "Em, there's one in your hair." And I'm like, oh my God, I feel it. I feel it. And, you know, I'm like freaking out.
She's running around in circles like a crazy person.
Yeah.
But at the same time asking me to get the bee out of her hair.
I'm freaking out because I know any second it's about to sting me. And I couldn't get it out. I couldn't get my hair out of the bun.
You weren't being still. You were running around in circles.
I was freaking out.
So obviously it stings her.
Like, it stings me.
A lot.
Yeah, pretty bad. And so all of a sudden I just like froze. And I said, it happened!
Yeah. And then finally she was still enough for me to get the bee out of your scalp.
Yep.
And actually, also, thank God, I was able to get the stinger
out.
The
huge, massive stinger.
Yeah, I had it on my finger. It was huge.
Literally the size of his fingernail.
Yeah, it was huge.
Like, in length.
Well, no. It was not the size of my fingernail.
Okay, well, like,
but
in my
big.
Brain, everything was exasperated yeah. in this moment. Like,
so,
I can't.
Yeah, she was a babbling idiot. At this point, there's tears coming down her face.
I'm not going to lie.
She's got a huge welt on her head.
But now,
her hair is a rat's nest.
A rat's nest. I look like a
hot mess.
Now
we're just going to this concert.
So, but I've also never been stung by a bee. So, like, in my, like, freaked out brain, I'm like, oh, my God, what if I'm allergic? Is my throat scratchy? What if I'm allergic? I'm a mess, people.
Yeah.
Like, an absolute overly dramatic,
she's
hot
like, what
mess.
If I'm allergic? Like, am I going to die? And then she's like, oh, my God, the bee died. Like,
and then I felt bad for the bee. And then I was like, why did I stick my head in the beehive? I was just like so like in awe of like its beauty. Like, I was just like admiring it. Why did it have to do something so mean? And then Rob's like, Emily, you stuck your head in its hive. It sees this massive thing coming near it. Yeah, it's gonna do everything, sacrifice himself to kill you. Well, try to kill you, and
yeah.
it kills himself in
yeah.
the process. You feel good about that, Emily? No, I don't, Rob. No, I don't.
Well, that bee stinger did its job. It got you the hell away.
It did, yes. Man, let me tell you, if you've never been stung by a bee...
In the head.
In the scalp. It hurts like you know what, okay?
Yeah.
Nobody prepares you, so... Yeah, our Friday night was a little bit ruined. We got to the concert way later because I was looking for ice. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Oh, God. Okay, so.
We were Googling how to fix this scenario
no,
because
this
Emily
is
was
my
worried
coworker
that
at
it
the
was
time.
Going to swell and she was worried
so,
that she was going to be allergic.
I was just really
this,
paranoid.
That, and the other thing.
But ironically, just that. Remember, it's Friday. So I was actually subbing at my old school this day, and my coworker, she's like, yeah, we were talking about bee stings and a kid like got stung on the playground that day, and I was like, gosh, knock on wood,
oh,
I'm
right.
so
yeah.
grateful that I've never been stung by a bee. Like, literally just hours prior to this, I was talking about, yeah, I don't know, like, I'm allergic to like a few things, like I'm kind of afraid to if I ever get stung by a bee, like, and I'm not
because you don't
around.
Know, you know, if
you really
if it's the
know.
First time you're getting stung, you don't really know. Like,
yeah. So yeah. She starts telling me, she's like, yeah, do you know, like, the secret trick if you're at a barbecue? And I was like, no, what's the trick if you're at a barbecue? She goes, oh, well, there's always mustard around because a lot of people get stung by bees at, you know, a summer barbecue. Just throw some mustard on it
oh,
and you're good
God.
To go.
Yeah.
So We're walking around in San Francisco.
She's like, so-and-so told me to get mustard. We have to find mustard. Does anyone have mustard? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Guys.
So anyway, we're walking past like a large intersection, and there was like a gas station. So we're like, go, let's go find mustard. And all they have is like, you know, sugary, like Heinz, like
yeah,
yellow.
The yellow, like nothing but sugar mustard.
Yeah, like not like so, great mustards, but we buy it.
Naturally.
And she puts it in her hair.
I just start squirting this mustard in my hair, and I'm rubbing it and rubbing it and rubbing it in the bathroom. Guys, like, yeah, I was definitely not in the right state of mind right now.
God, yeah.
And I get out of the bathroom. Rob's like, so does it feel better? And I'm like, no, it stinks.
Yeah, because it's nothing but shit in that mustard.
So, oh my God. So eventually, you know, we just go, I try and rinse out the freaking mustard.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, all right, let's just have ourselves a good time. I'm clearly not allergic. Let me just try and forget about it. Even though I'm like shaking like a leaf just for no reason. Like, Emily, it's a bee sting.
Yeah.
Relax.
Chill.
I couldn't chill out. I don't know.
Anyway, we go to the concert. We got there for like literally the last song.
Yeah.
We found Kevin and Isaac.
Which was, I can't even believe that we even found them because it was such a big area.
Yes.
And we
by
didn't,
some miracle, I spotted them in the crowd.
Yeah. There was no chance of like calling anybody, you know, when
and it was literally, we got there and the guy played that last song.
Yeah. It was really good though. I was glad we went.
Well, then we had Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Which were uneventful and plenty of fun. Like, we didn't get stung by any more bees.
Oh. I was like, what do you mean? It was super eventful. We had a great time.
Oh, my God. Speaking of eventful, that fried chicken.
That was the best fried chicken I've ever had in my entire life.
Not even remotely close to anything else.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
I actively crave that fried chicken.
Like, we got a full plate of fried chicken and mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And then instantly went
Rob,
back up.
I like turn around and
got another full plate. Yeah, like it was kind of like the end. It was, yeah. I think this was the Sunday afternoon. The whole thing had kind of ended.
Yeah, it was kind of,
and
they
all
were just
the
like,
food vendors were giving everything out like, you know,
half price.
Or whatever. So I was like,
all
oh,
of a sudden
like, let's go
I'm
check
like
out this
finishing
fried
chicken. Up my chicken and I look over and Rob's back talking to the guy and
I was
gets
talking
another
to the guy. I was
full
like,
plate
yo,
of chicken.
I was literally talking to the guy who like worked there. I was like, dude, this is the best fried chicken ever.
I've ever had.
Like, he's like, I took his card. I was like, where are you from? Little Skillet.
That was the name of it.
If
thank
you're
you
in
for
San Francisco.
Little Skillet.
Little Skillet.
We don't even know where the actual restaurant
no
or
idea,
store is.
But
it was
look
just
it
a
up.
Vendor.
It was incredible.
It was honestly, oh
it was
God.
So good.
I would do anything for that. And they put
we
hot sauce on it.
Two huge plates of fried chicken and mac and cheese.
Yeah,
I could have ate a third.
Oh, for sure, for
yeah,
sure.
It
for
was
sure.
So good.
There's no stopping me when there's good food around. I am just like a bottomless pit, man. I could eat for hours.
Yeah, but yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, there's this one time I was a little youngin and I went to a Jones Beach concert, you know, the usual, you're drinking, having a good time, and I called my cousin Katie, hey Katie, to come pick me up, and she brings me back to my other cousin's house, and like, when I'm drunk, oh, I talk about drunk munchies to the extreme, like, I am a huge
that's the
foodie,
worst.
Sober,
that what got me bad
drunk.
In college was not so much the drinking, it was the drunk eating.
Pizza every night.
Ugh, the worst.
Every single night. So anyway, Katie brings me back to my cousin's house, and I'm just like, I'm hungry. I'm so hungry. And Carrie, my cousin's wife, she's like, I don't know if we should feed her. Like, she's pretty drunk. She's going to puke. And Katie's like, this girl is not going to puke. She's just going to eat a fuck ton, and then she's just going to pass out. See, I cursed again. Anyway.
Apologies.
So
we can blur
I'm
it out.
Not kidding. I ate probably an entire hummus bowl with chips, mac and cheese, hot dog, cheeseburger, chips and dip.
Jeez, darling, zonked. I didn't know you had all that in you.
Zonked out. You wanted me to tell you another quick story.
Oh, boy.
We were at, you know when you go to Italian restaurants on the island and they do family size?
Yes.
Okay,
I know
so,
where this one's going.
Oh, yeah. I have only three cousins, Katie, Eric, and Greg. Shout out to all three of them. Love them all dearly. Only a super tiny family for me being all 100% Italian. We got the tiniest family in the world. But So we're out at this big Italian dinner, and my cousin Greg goes, Emily, I got a huge plate of fettuccine Alfredo, and you know how heavy fettuccine Alfredo is, with a side of chicken franchettes.
You're absolute lunatic.
And my mom's like, Emily, like, this is family-sized meals. Like, don't get both. Like, yeah. We're going to share it all anyway.
No, I want it.
I'm young. How old are you? I don't know. Probably like 10, 9.
10 years old?
8 or 9.
What are you, crazy?
So I'm like, but I want it. And my mom's like, honestly, we're all about the leftovers in my family. Yeah, all about it. So Greg goes, Emily, I'll bet you $100 that you can't finish everything on both those plates. And I was like, oh yeah? Oh yeah, you want a bet? Oh yeah, I'll finish it.
Don't challenge this one, let me tell you.
What do you know? As soon as I took my last bite, my face is green. I'm about to puke. I get that last bite down, and there I go, walking straight across the street to the ATM and get myself a crisp $100 bill. There it is, guys. So, I mean, if you want to lose a bet, challenge me to a food challenge.
Yeah.
That's how much of a foodie I am.
Dang.
You proud to be marrying me, honey?
Very. Well, with your food skills comes your incredible palate and even better cooking skills.
I'm learning. Emily, sister, Lauren, is an incredible, like, I'll never compare it to that.
Huge shout out to Lauren. Lauren is a great cook.
Oh my gosh, literally the best.
But so is Emily, and you're dealing with a camper.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Thank you, honey. Well, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back.
Yeah.
All right. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
3, 2, 1, action.
And we're back. Howdy, y'all.
Howdy, y'all. So, to switch gears a little bit, we have had a few people ask us where our cover photo to the podcast has been taken. The one with, basically, in the desert, you can call it.
Yeah.
Death Valley.
Death
actually.
Valley. Yeah.
We were fortunate, and it was a little weird, but we were fortunate enough to spend this past Christmas in Death Valley.
Yeah, we were there for like, was it 10 days or something?
Yeah, it was 10 days, 10 full days.
Awesome place. Huge shout out again to Danny Mack.
Yes.
Danny McElrath for highly, highly recommending Death Valley.
Yep.
It was beautiful.
It was scary.
It was a gnarly place.
One of the most intense national parks that we've ever been to.
Yeah, we actually found out it was the largest national park outside of Alaska.
Yes. Whoa.
Yeah, so the largest national park in like the lower 48, they would say.
Nice. That's crazy. This, it's just so different. It has so many different layers and levels to it.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, fun fact, Death Valley has the lowest point in North America.
Yeah, so Death Valley is the,
averaging at what, like negative 280?
Yeah, I think the lowest point is at Badwater.
And Badwater Basin.
Yep, and I think it's at something like negative 280, 290 feet.
Yeah.
Below sea level?
Below sea level.
It's also like the hottest and the driest place in
North America.
The country or North America, yeah. But obviously when we were there, it was Christmas.
Yep.
And it had rained.
Of course it rained.
It rained when we were there.
All through the months of being in the Pacific Northwest, we were just praying.
Yes.
We can't wait to be in the desert. We just want sunshine. We just want to be sweating and it'd be hot and air out our camper.
Yeah,
and
so we were in Oregon for the entire month of November, pretty much. And then after November, getting towards the week of Christmas, we were driving, you know, south through Northern
Reno.
California and into Nevada a little bit.
Yeah.
We had driven down 395, Highway 395, down like the eastern.
That was the most incredible.
The eastern part of
highway.
The Sierras. It was a beautiful road.
Yeah.
Beautiful road, yeah.
You're driving along the Sierras. This highway is at the foothill of the entire mountain range.
Yeah.
For miles on
it's just like a flat plane, and then it just is like
boom,
straight up.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the eastern
and that's where
border
Mount Whitney
of the
is.
Sierra Mountains.
Yeah. It was pretty remarkable, but we were also running away from
the cold. Yeah, so
massive
it was December.
Rainstorm. No, remember, it was a huge rainstorm, and we woke up and we saw the storm forming over the hills, and we're like, ooh, we have to get going. And yeah. we were literally driving, running yeah. away from this storm.
Yeah, there was a storm coming over the mountains.
And there was a whole bunch of caution signs that were telling us, caution, no trailers, no campers, high winds ahead, high speed, caution, do not go. And we're like,
we had to keep it moving.
Well, we have to keep it moving, so let's keep our fingers crossed so we don't tip over.
Yeah.
No, all was okay. It was definitely crazy windy, though, on this drive.
Yeah.
So, shall we share?
We get to Death Valley in search of warmth and dryness. And, of course, it rains.
Yes, of course it rains.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a whole long story that we won't get into today on the adventure going down into the lowest valley.
Boy. Yeah. Well, it's not super easy to get into the lowest part of the country. You're going downhill quite a bit.
When you're 12,000 pounds.
And, yeah, we're going downhill quite a bit. And we are heavy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as even if we lower our gears.
Mm-hmm. Which we learned, I think, from your dad, right? He used to be a truck driver.
Yeah. So, we're lowering our gears and we're trying to go downhill. And still, like, our brakes are just, like,
Smoking.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to pull over. Yeah. I don't know why. You know you're creating this road. And you know that it is extremely steep and you're going down thousands of feet of elevation very rapidly, and yet you don't have a brake check pull off.
Area. Yeah.
All over the country, we've passed dozens of brake check, huge areas to like give your brakes literally
a break. Yeah.
And nowhere on this road into Death Valley is there a stopped point to pull
well,
off.
Well, where we were, there wasn't, but there was, you know.
So, yeah, we just pull off onto the rocks because our brakes were smoking.
Yeah, our rotors were just glowing. Our front two rotors were glowing red.
Super dangerous.
So and I like threw some water on them.
Oh my God.
And they would just billow with like smoke. It wasn't
now
great.
Let's keep in mind the issue at hand prior to going into Death Valley. Remember what was happening to our coolant system, Robert?
Yes, yeah, so we ran into an issue where...
A little bit of an issue with the engine. No big deal.
Technical details. We'll run through it quickly, but the injectors in the engine, they sit within an injector cup, and that injector cup had a little bit of a crack in it, and two of the cups that we found out, there were two of them that had a crack in it, and fuel was getting into the coolant system through this crack.
Yeah, we had diesel leaking into our coolant system, eventually overflowing before we get on the road into Death Valley. And we're super screwed.
Yeah, so the engine is slightly compromised, and we're going downhill.
Oh, my God.
You know, into Death Valley.
Like, the main thing you don't want to happen in this scenario to put all these pieces together is you don't want your engine to overheat in the middle of Death Valley, where there is no mechanic. There's nothing there except death. And yet, we're like, sure, our plan is to go to Death Valley for Christmas. Let's give it a go. We know that our brakes are super fragile on steep inclines. We know that our engine is on the fritz of overheating. Let's still go.
Yeah. It was beautiful, though.
But, I mean, hey, we had a great time.
We got the cover photo.
Yeah, we got that cover photo. So, we did get there safe and sound. We had to take it nice and slow. Rob rigged up this little thing to get the layer of diesel that is more buoyant. So the diesel is sitting.
Oh, yeah,
kind of
like siphoned out some diesel from the coolant.
Yeah, so the diesel sits on top of the coolant, and Rob figured out a way to siphon out the diesel.
Yeah, luckily it was easy to do because the diesel is
more buoyant.
Much more buoyant. So within the coolant tank, it was a layer above, so it was kind of easy to siphon off.
So we just give it a go, and we just head straight for the Valley of Death.
Yeah. But we had one of the most incredible days we've ever had on this whole trip.
Yeah. So, sorry about that. Quick technical difficulty. So, let's jump right back in. As Rob was saying, we had one of the most spectacular days in Death Valley.
Like, of the whole trip.
Of the entire, honestly, of our entire road trip.
Yeah, it was cool.
Like, the last 7 months, top 5 days. So, we started off with, you know, going to, like, our usual routine when we're in a new national park. We go to the visitor center, we get ourselves a good map, we have a little chat with a park ranger.
It's also fun because the visitor centers also give you a lot of like information about the park.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you get some info about, okay, this is the hottest, the driest, the lowest, the this, that, and the other thing.
And
you learn a little bit about the animals that live there.
Absolutely.
You learn a little bit about like the environment that you're in. Mm-hmm. And then you go out on a nice hike and you have a totally different perspective of it.
Yes.
Being a little bit more informed
about
where you are.
That's like the science people in us, is we like to be learning about where we are. We like to know like what's ahead, what are we going to see, what are we going to expect,
the layers in the rock, you know, how the place was formed.
I was just going to say that my favorite part about these parks is learning how they're formed,
because
they're all so different. And even like in Death Valley, each part of this park that has so many different layers are all formed differently. I mean, Death Valley has sand dunes. They have that saltwater basin. They have Golden Canyon, where it's created by flash flooding. Like, you name it. Death Valley has it all.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, the snowy peaks.
Oh, and the moving rocks.
The moving rocks! There's mysterious rocks that are just move on their own, which now they found out is probably
They think that it's probably wind? Because of ice and wind.
Ice and wind in
Death
Valley.
Or like a frozen...
It's unbelievable.
But really, I think that that's pretty much just a hypothesis at this point.
Yeah, it really is like, it's called the mysterious moving rocks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, but we also found out that those are super impossible to get to.
Yeah, it's like a 25-mile
dirt road. Dirt road.
They're like, be prepared to pop at least one tire on this road. Like
on the visitor center guide map, it literally says experienced off-road.
High clearance. Like,
be
no
prepared
joke.
To change at least one tire.
Yeah, and they're
these are their words.
Most of the roads in Death Valley are like that. Most of the roads in Death Valley are like, you need like a dune buggy to get out there.
Yeah, so to make you guys feel better, we did not venture out there.
No, we stayed on the pavement.
We stayed on the pavement.
Remember, we are dealing with brake and engine issues.
Yeah,
we don't need to break down in the middle of Death Valley.
We were very grateful to get into Death Valley. We
didn't
want to
push it.
Yeah. And it literally, guess how much a tow truck is. It says that in the visitor guide too. Yeah.
And by the way, minimum, if you're an idiot and you go do something you're not supposed to do off-roading,
minimum $2,000.
Yeah.
Which is going to get up
if
to
$5,000. If you're 20 miles into a dirt road and a tow truck has to get you out of there.
Yeah. Forget about
Talk about $10,000.
Forget about it. So anyway,
Great day.
Great day. We start off the day. At the entrance to the visitor center, there is a big sign that says, stargazing event with a park ranger tonight, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And we just look at each other like, is this a joke? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, Death Valley also being the hottest, driest, lowest place in America also has one of the darkest skies.
It is a certified
International dark sky. In one of the darkest places in the world, really. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah. So we start our day going to what is called the Golden Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big loop, and the loop does eventually hike you up to what is Zabriskie Point, how you say that?
Yep.
Now, that's a big parking lot, so...
Yeah, once we got up there, we...
It was quite a tourist...
Trap.
Not trap, because it was beautiful, but, like, it really is just... People are just driving there. They're not really appreciating what's going on.
Yeah, we were a little out of place as true hikers.
Yes. So, honestly, our advice is if you are there, do the loop. It's really not that long. It took quite a couple hours, but...
But granted, we were there in December, so, you know...
It's not 130 degrees
There in the summer, it's, like, probably, like, 140 degrees. So, a lot... That's the other thing. When you're in a place like that, the trails... A lot of the trails aren't, like, massively huge.
Right,
but
because you're in the desert.
But during this time in December, it was their very busy season, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we decided to, of course, knowing us, like, we're absolutely going to do the full hike.
Yeah.
And, you know, just as a little side tip, since we're people are listening, like, please be cautious when you're hiking in the desert. You need to make sure that you have enough water, because there's really no shade. It is hot. Even if it wasn't even that hot that day. And we definitely drank through all of our water, ate all of our snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start to feel a little funny, you know, like... When you're a little tired lethargic and lethargic is a great word, I'd say. Rob. And it's like, okay, let's be smart here. Let's get some cold water in us.
You start to move slowly and you're like, ugh.
Let's guess, like, even though you don't want to eat, like when you feel that way, the last thing you want to eat is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, so I think you got to be smart about the snacks you're bringing. You know, we bring like, you know, oranges or like
apple,
some string cheese, things that are
carrots.
Like more refreshing.
Yeah, and of course we have, like, the trail mix. We have peanuts and stuff. We usually, like, if it's a long hike, we have a full lunch, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, something that, like, won't go bad. But anyway, we're going off track here.
Stay hydrated, stay well-fed.
Yeah.
But go on cool hikes.
Yeah. So that was pretty spectacular, this Golden Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part two of the day is... Yeah. That took most of the day. So we're approaching sunset at time. So we drive to Badwater Basin, the first time that we get to go there. And let me tell you, this was...
Yeah, it was by far one of the most outstanding sunsets that we have ever seen.
Ever seen.
And Emily always... Okay.
It was... Honestly, yeah, as Rob said, like top five, one of the most incredible nights. And... So, Rob, can you explain better than me? Like, there was a little bit of water there. Like,
yeah,
honestly, only about half inch to an inch. So you can walk through this water. Now, why was there water there?
Yeah, well, it rained when we were there.
Oh, duh. But wasn't it because of the snow melt? Like, it was so cold up in the mountains that there was also snow melt?
Yeah, so, well, as it rained near us in the mountains, just to the west of us was snowy. So there was also, we had come across an older couple that goes to Death Valley like every year.
Yeah, every year
and
they spend
I was talking
Christmas
to them
there.
A little bit and they had said that they had never in their lives seen snow on top of these mountains.
Which is probably why it also rained.
And because it had rained, there was snow on the top of the mountain.
Like on, and it was beautiful.
It was pretty incredible, yeah.
So the sun is setting and you're walking on this water, but it makes it look like completely like glass.
Yeah, it's only like 6 or 7 inches deep at the most.
No, Robert. We were walking on top of it.
Okay, so it was 2 inches deep.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so with that, there was a perfect reflection of the mountain range over this glass water.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the sky couldn't have been clearer. It was... perfect.
Yeah. And you had the moon out. The moon was like a crescent mm-hmm. and Venus was there next to it.
So yeah, since we are informed, we knew that this really, really bright star that was right next to the moon was in fact not a star. It was Venus. So it was interesting. Let's fast forward a little bit. We head right to the stargazing talk right after sunset. Beautiful time, right? You got the point. And so the first thing that this park ranger starts off with, who was I don't even know her. I wish I got her name because she was so intelligent.
Yeah, she was awesome. We learned a lot from them.
We learned so much from her. And the first thing she starts off with is, I don't know if any of you got to watch the sunset tonight, but that really bright star in the sky was Venus. It was not a star. It was a planet that was popping by to say hello.
Yeah.
And cue the crowd just going, woo! That was a really funny moment. But, yeah, like we said, this woman was so informative. She taught us a lot. Now, let's talk about how my science nerd, amateur astronomer. I always get that mixed up.
It's okay.
Astronomer. What did you buy a couple months prior?
So, you know, you need to have a laser pointer if you're going to talk about the stars.
Oh my God, what a nerd.
There's this, on Amazon, you can get a star laser pointer for like $8.
This thing is industrial.
And it's like super bright and literally looks like it's...
It points beeline straight to the star you're talking about.
Yeah, it literally looks like it's touching the sky.
Because think about it. Put yourself like in the nighttime... Talking to...
It makes it easier to, like, talk and communicate
to someone,
about which
you point
stars
up to the
looking
at. You point up to the sky, and you're like, oh, look at that star and that star. It's like, guy,
which one?
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, this thing literally has caution all over it. It has a lock, like, do not put near children. Will cause blindness.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this woman, naturally, she's giving a star talk. She has a similar one. It's battery operated. Now her battery is very low. So this beam of light is very dull in the sky.
Yeah, and so her laser pointer, it wasn't so bright.
It wasn't so bright, and it was really fading throughout the talk.
Just because she probably uses it a lot, and the battery was a little low.
Yeah, you know. And so all of a sudden, she's pointing to this constellation, and I just see, bing, a bright green beam of light straight next to my eyes. And I'm like, oh my God.
She's so embarrassed. I don't know why. It's just a laser
pointer.
He brought his
laser pointer.
Well, there was like 100 people there or so, and she was trying to explain this constellation, and nobody really knew what she was talking about, and I did. So I was, and nobody could see her laser pointer. So I just like took mine out of my pocket and like pointed to the constellation she was talking about, and everyone was like,
like, cue everybody, and I'm just shaking my head like my little nerd over here.
Yeah, so she goes,
saving the day.
So she's like, oh, whoever has that, can I borrow it?
Can I borrow that?
Yeah, so obviously she...
Rob saves the day.
Used it for the rest of the time.
But yeah, let's quickly talk about, like, the constellation she was...
Yeah,
she taught
us. We learned a lot. One of the coolest things I think we learned from her was Cassiopeia. So Cassiopeia is just it's a constellation in the sky. It's pretty easy to find. That's the thing about constellations is, like, once you know them, it's very easy to spot them again and again.
Right.
So Cassiopeia just looks like a big W or a big M,
depending on
like where it's positioned in the sky.
Yeah.
But from one of the top stars, like, you know, from the top corner of the W, you could imagine if you draw like a straight line from there, it makes it very easy to see the Andromeda galaxy.
Yes.
And on this particular night, Cassiopeia and the Andromeda galaxy were straight above head.
Yep.
So straight above head is often, like, even though we're in Death Valley, it's still, when you look straight up, that is the darkest part of the sky. So it was really cool. We could really see
with
Andromeda
the naked eye, we could see. Now, we say these words and we throw them around like it's no big deal. Andromeda, the closest galaxy to us. Now, thanks to you, ever since, like, having you come into my life, I've really been able to put that into perspective. Like, close your eyes and picture you looking up at the sky on any normal night. Mm-hmm. And you see all these beautiful stars in the sky. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it. Every single star is its own solar system.
Yeah.
And in those solar systems, there's planets. And each planet has maybe one moon, maybe multiple moons.
Infinite possibilities.
It's so, like, when you tell me that with the naked eye, we can see the closest galaxy.
Yeah, so all the stars you see.
It blows my mind.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So all the stars you see are within our Milky Way galaxy.
Yes, our Milky Way
galaxy.
Our
galaxy is the Milky Way. And the Andromeda galaxy is similar sized to the Milky Way.
Okay.
But it is the furthest thing that you can see with the naked eye.
So cool.
So, you know, anywhere in the universe, any human on Earth, that is it. That's the furthest thing that you'll ever be able to see.
Yeah, we were able to find it now.
A completely different galaxy.
Thanks to this woman.
And on that particular night, it was straight up.
Yeah. So we also were able, since it's International Dark Sky, we were able to see the Milky Way very clearly this night. However, keep in mind, we're in winter. It's Christmas.
Yeah. So,
Rob, tell us about, like, the difference between the Milky Way in the summer versus the winter.
Yeah. And I learned this that night, too. She taught us a lot. But in the winter and in the summer, you kind of get a different perspective of the Milky Way.
Okay.
And it makes total sense when you think about it. It depends on where the Earth is around the sun. So in the winter months, while we were there in December, the Earth is, you can imagine, so imagine the Milky Way to be kind of like a Frisbee.
Yes. Okay. Right? Let's start here. The Milky Way is a round Frisbee shape.
Yeah. With like spiral arms. We've all seen a picture of it. So in the winter months, the Earth is between the sun and the outer portion of the galaxy.
So kind of like deep space you're looking at.
Yeah. So, which is also why we're able to see Andromeda during the winter, because when you're looking at that night sky in the winter months, you're looking
darker.
Away from the center of the galaxy.
So it's all right.
And then as the Earth moves around the sun and you're looking at the night sky.
Okay.
Now, you, from your perspective on Earth, you're looking towards the center of the galaxy.
Whoa.
So in the winter months, the galaxy is much dimmer It's very
pretty. Like, it was faint.
It's a little faint.
Even though it was a clear sky, I would say the Milky Way was pretty faint.
You can see it clearly, but it's faint. And then but now in the summer months, that's when you see those pictures that are just pink and vivid and bright and
those
clear.
That makes so much sense.
Because you're looking in the summer months, you're facing, we're in between, you could think of it in between the center of the Milky Way and the sun.
Wow. That's remarkable.
Cool.
And yeah, definitely cool. Gosh, you teach me so much.
Oh, she taught us that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're always learning.
I mean, I'm glad that you're able to retain that information and then repeat it back to me.
Well, again, like we had said in episode one, it's about being able to feel...
Yes, your place. Right,
your position
and
your movement.
And I think that's what I'm doing right now.
Being
I can
able
feel,
to feel that.
That.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
I hope you guys can too, because my mind is exploded right now. Thank you, Rob. So, I mean, needless to say, Death Valley was a remarkable trip. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We had our ups and downs just like a daily basis, but yeah. I mean, we have some awesome memories that come from that. And that was just one day.
When we left Death Valley, we went to Vegas.
Straight to Vegas, baby, for New Year's Eve.
We did get the truck fixed.
Yes, we were able to get the truck fixed. The engine is good to go. Hoofa. That was really, I was nervous to even leave Death Valley though, because our engine was not okay. I still cannot believe we went into Death Valley.
PTSD.
Yeah, it was pretty traumatic for sure. Yeah. But I mean, let's leave it off there. That was a great story. Thanks for that, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah.
If you have any more, you know, questions, comments, like we always leave off, please feel free to ask. We love sharing these stories. We've been loving the feedback you guys have been giving us.
Yeah, so have a great day.
Yeah. Enjoy the day.
Yeah.
And we'll talk soon.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.